Shall we pray? Everlasting Father, we thank you. We thank you because you're the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. We give you all the praise, O God. All the adoration, dominion, power be to you. Blessed be your name. Father, even as we go into your word, we ask that you speak to us. Teach us, O God, the word for each and every one of us. We pray that it will not pass us by in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anna, when God is doing his thing, he has a way of doing things. We ended the worship session and went into the corporate prayer session in adoration. The choir sang and they were singing about, you know, trusting God to make a way. And I see everything aligning with the message for us this morning. Praise God. You know, last week we talked about the insecurity of Jeroboam. And one of the things we talked about last week was the fact that God, you know, God made a promise to Jeroboam that he's taking him somewhere. God made it clear to him why he was going to do what he was going to do. That he was going to take a kingdom from an already established people and give it to Jeroboam. And God did it. Now, so in a sense, God gave a word and Jeroboam saw it come to pass. But almost immediately after that, he forgot his source. We said he became insecure. Jeroboam became more concerned about, hang on a moment, now I'm a king. Now I'm ruling over 10 tribes. What is going to happen? Because the place of worship is not here with us. Will these people, will they now move and go and be worshiping, you know, in Jerusalem? Will they now move back to Rehoboam? But you're thinking to yourself, the God that said, I'm going to give you a kingdom, I'm going to establish you, and he made it happen. Is that God not enough to sustain you? So really, the question there was, when we're established, when things happen for us as God has said, as we're looking to, what next? Do we still hold on to that God? Rehoboam became insecure. And because he became insecure, he made the children of Israel worship idols. He committed atrocities. And we ended the sermon last week by saying that Rehoboam became a byword for, you know, evil kings. When people do not do well, they'll say, like Jeroboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. So when things go wrong, they'll be like, you know, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today, I want us to look at the topic of strength to carry on. Strength to carry on. So, you know, God has done something for you, or God has placed you in a place. How do you have that strength to carry on? I believe that there are three sources or three ways that you can gain strength, whether in hard times, in uncertain times, the strength to keep going. What helps you to keep on keeping on? I was sitting there and thinking to myself, so, you know, this Christian race we're running, if anybody says, you know, it's all smooth, it's all rosy, it's all fun, they're lying. Because it can be very challenging. There are times when you'll ask yourself, why on earth you know, did I even give my life to Christ? Sorry, I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. Has anyone ever, you know, you've asked yourself, you've questioned yourself, really, is this God worth serving? There are times when you say to yourself, why do I bother? For some of us, we cannot even remember when last we missed church. We cannot remember when last we missed service. I know, I remember a few years back, a student came to meet me, and she was like, she was in her final year. She was very tearful. Why was she tearful? Her results came out, and she had a second class load. So she had a 2-2. And she came to meet me, and she was like, I don't get it. Yeah, I know that I played a bit in my first year, my second year. At the beginning of my third year, I made up my mind I'm really going to serve this God. And truly, in her third year, she didn't miss church. She was in the services. She was doing everything, you know, totally sold out. And yet, when the results came out, she had a second class lower. What do you say to someone like that? And she was like, not only was she spending nights in the library, I know some folks sitting here that do that. And once in a while, I might see them at Morrison's going to get some snack just to keep them going, and they'll go back to the library and continue. She was spending time in the library night, day. But she said she prayed like never before. So what do you say to such people? You graduate and all your colleagues, all your classmates, they're getting a job. You know, well-placed, you know, good pay. And you're just there. And you're thinking to yourself, why me? You spend 3 years, you spend 4 years in school, and everybody graduates, and somebody says, hang on a moment, you have a recert. And I'm thinking, I never had a recert my first year, second year, final year, when I'm meant to be graduating, and everybody else graduates. Why me? Where do you get that strength to carry on? Can we open our Bibles to the book of Habakkuk? Those who know me know that this is a favorite passage of mine. Habakkuk chapter 3. Yes, somebody is saying verse 17. I can hear verse 17. You know, this is Habakkuk speaking. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God is the Lord. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Praise the Lord. You know, things are not going wrong. That song the choir sang says, I'll trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have to realize that the strength to go on, above anything else, above all else, it comes from God. There will be times when we face challenges. There will be times when things are difficult. But that strength to go on comes from God. I said three sources or three ways we gain strength. From God. From our leaders, from our peers, from others, and from ourselves. Praise the Lord. But today we want to talk about strength from God. The strength to go on that God gives you when that challenge comes. And why does God do it? Because God is God. Why do we praise Him? We talk about adoration. Why do we adore Him? Not because of what He's done for us, but because of who he is. Because he's God. A lot of unbelievers, they say this thing that we Christians, we use God's sovereignty as a cop-out. That whenever we cannot explain anything, we'll say God is God. You know, God knows best. But it's not a cop-out. It's the reality. God is God. God is sovereign. God knows all things. He's the one that sees the end from the beginning. He has declared it. You know, he knows every way, every... The mathematicians talk about permutations, T, right? Permutations and combinations. And you're thinking to yourself, every possible permutation that your life can take, God has seen it even before you experience it. And that is why we say that he's able to make all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because he knows how everything will pan out. So you think you're making a mistake. You think you've missed it. You've missed the mark. Trust God. God is able to make all things work together for your good. A few verses that, you know, during the week, for those of us that are doing the Bible challenge, might remember some of this scripture. You know, why Psalm 118? We'll just read four verses there from verse 6. Psalm 118. It says, the Lord is on my side. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Because the Lord is on my side. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Man can help, princes can help, leaders can help, but first and foremost, who do you put your trust in? Trust the Lord. Trust in God, not in man, not what anybody else can do for you. You look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on what you know. It's not about what you know. Don't lean on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And when you acknowledge him in all your ways, when you give him that preeminence, it says he will direct your path. Praise God. He will direct your paths. He will direct the way you should go. He will make things work out for you. He gives you the strength to carry on. Trust him. Why would he do that? Because he's God. It's not about you. I mean, sometimes we try. But even the best of us, we still make mistakes. Even the best of us, the most righteous of us, the most holy amongst us, we still make mistakes. In our good intentions, we still step on people's toes, right? You know, we want to be kind, we want to be good, we do it, and yet, sometimes a slip here, a slip there, and we cause offense. It's about God. There was a scripture I shared with the Facebook group. Psalm 111, 4b, and verse 5. The second part of verse 4. It says, the Lord is gracious. Psalm 111. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. You read that passage and you're thinking, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That's God. He has given food to those who fear him. The food has been made available. So, you're hungry. but the food has been given to you. He has made it available. It says, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. He said something about you. He's made a promise concerning you. His word says he will ever be mindful of everything he has said about you, what he says is going to bring to pass. So it's not about your circumstance. It's not about what's going on in the environment. It's not about what you're experiencing right now. God, the Bible says, is not slack concerning his promises. God doesn't mess about, you know, his word, his yea and amen. Whatever he said, that's it. He will stand by his word to perform it. So he said something about you, but things are not going the way you expect. You're in challenging times. The Bible says that he is ever mindful of his covenant. I've said it, I will fulfill it. What is that challenge? So God gives that strength for you to carry on. It's not about the storms, it's not about the winds, it's not about the waves that are raging. But then there's the flip side. And you look at what, my prayer is that we won't take God for granted. Praise God. You know, it's so easy to say yes because God is God. And some people actually do that. Yes, because God has said it. Well, he's God, he'll keep his word. He has to keep his word. And because God is God, if God says he's not going to do something because you've messed up, he's not going to do it. You know, when Solomon built the temple and he prayed and sacrificed to God as never before, and, you know, well, he prayed and sacrificed as the sacrifice was as never before. You know, unprecedented sacrifice. God said something in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll read from verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 from verse 19. It says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. You know, the preceding verses talk about promises. But then a but comes in. There's a clause. We're talking about God that gives the strength to carry on. There was a clause there. If you turn away, if you forsake my statutes, my commandments, the things I've told you to do, the things I've said before you, and you serve other gods and worship them. Now, we might not be, nowadays, I'm sure in some countries people are still doing it, but, you know, you talk about carved idols and images and all that. We don't serve those kind of gods, most people. But there are other things that constitute gods in the lives of people. Things that take their eyes from God, their focus, their gaze from God. What are those things? You know, he said that if that is your focus, if that is what you're doing, then I will uproot you, speaking to the Israelites, said, I will uproot them, the children of Israel, from my land, which I have given them. It's interesting, he didn't say from the land, it says from my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. And will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods, and worship them and serve them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Praise God. My prayer is that we will not forsake God. Because by forsaking God, calamity comes. You know, there's a song I love so much. It says, the Lord's our rock, in him we stand, a shelter in this time of storm. You people don't sing it, right? By night, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time, giving the whole time religion. Old time religion, give me the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Praise the Lord. I'm sure if it was whose song? If it was Israel's song, okay. If I was saying no, Israel, yeah, bless him. If it was Israel or I don't even know those people. See that's the issue. If we sing one of those songs now, I'm sure some guys will be, you know, and you see Ali came, yeah. Praise God. We are, the Bible says we're the apple of his eyes. It says our life is hid in Christ with God. Now, if you think about you as someone, you know, you think about concentric circles, and you're at the center, and Christ is surrounding you, and God is surrounding you, and storms are raging, and things are going, you know, the elements, the UK weather, there was a day it rained, there were hailstones, it happens a lot of the time, but recently it rained, there was hailstone, and at a point in time it was so warm. And you're thinking to yourself, make up your mind, which one, you know. But all the elements happen at once, and the breeze is blowing, and everything is going wrong. If it cannot touch God, or if it cannot affect God and affect Jesus Christ, how is it going to affect you? That's how secure you are in him. But that is in him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Then when Paul was writing to the Corinthians and he said, if anyone is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature. You know, all things are passed away, all things have become new. That newness is also security. You're secure in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now we think about some instances where God gave strength to carry on. And we'll just talk about two people. The first person, Isaac. Talking about strength to carry on. And you're thinking to yourself, Isaac, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Circumstances may be favorable. Circumstances may not be favorable. So you've got that job. You've got that fantastic job. And that's why when we read from Habakkuk, sometimes it's easy when things are going well to serve God. You know, yes, I want to graduate at the age of 21. It happens. I want to get that six-figure salary job as a fresh graduate. Greedy? Maybe not. But you get it. I remember when I graduated, I was like, I don't want to stay too long before getting a job. And, you know, that year, I remember that year, there was a World Cup going on. So I said, I don't want to get a job before the World Cup finishes, because I'll have to be. The World Cup was being played in, where was it being played? Was it the US? I can't remember. But I knew that getting a job would mean me having to go to work every day, and I was going to be missing some matches. So I was like, okay, let's just wait until after the World Cup. It happened for me that way. I finished my national service and thing less than 3 months after the games had finished, after, you know, I was at a point when I needed a job and God gave me. I had a friend that for almost 10 years after graduating, he couldn't get a job. And you think to yourself, what makes you better? You both went to school. You both graduated. What makes you better than that other person? And you must have been thinking, you know, A, she's now a director somewhere. B, he's now a manager somewhere. C, he's now a senior manager in this company. And you're looking at everybody going up the ladder, and you're thinking, I had a first class degree. I was the best student in my class. We graduated together. She had a 2-2. I had a first class. She's now an assistant manager. Me, I'm still an assistant officer. The gap between us, before I can become an assistant manager, will take at least 5 years. And I was the best in the class. And I've been faithful. Praise the Lord. Sometimes circumstances won't be favorable, but God gives the strength to carry on. Genesis 26 from verse 1 says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Remember, we said he's the one that, you know, he keeps these commandments. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you think about it. Things were going wrong in the land. There was a famine. Smart choice. Let's look for where there's plenty. Let's migrate. But God says, hang on. I want you to stay in this place. Don't go. You know, yes, there's a famine, there's everything, and things look rosy in the UK. Things look rosy in Canada right now. Let's migrate to Canada. But what is God saying? He has made a promise concerning you, and he's saying, you know, stay in this place. If you stay in this place, I will bring the promises I've said concerning you. I'll bring them to pass. I mean, I am one of those people that strongly believe that if you're going to maximize your God-given potentials, if you're going to reach where God wants you to be, you need to be where God has asked you to be. I look at some people in the UK, and I think to myself, what on earth are you doing in this land? The blessings of God, they make rich. They don't add sorrow. Last week, I was talking about, you know, one guy that was saying, you know, some Nigerians go to Dubai and they're buying like 10 scores of houses and paying cash. Don't ask me where they got the money. But no, yeah, truly, don't ask me where they got the money. But there's some, you know, there's some people that genuinely, they have this money, legit, as in legit. Almost 20 years ago, I knew someone that was collecting close to 30 million in salary. Salary was being paid. 30 million naira some 20 years ago. I'm not sure how much that is now. £1. It's not as bad as the CD. No. Praise God. I got you there. You know, it's significant amount of money. My maths is not good, but we're talking hundreds of thousands that it was being paid in salary. And it was salary, it was legit. I had a colleague that, you know, going on holidays, and some of us might be able to relate to this, going on holidays like, okay, yeah, we're going to the U.S., from the U.S. we're going to Hawaii, and from Hawaii we're going to stop over, and you're thinking to yourself, how do you people do it? For the Nigerians in the house, Nigerians have a funny thing, they're always saying, things are hard. You know, it's difficult. Things are hard. And the people that are saying things are hard, they come to the UK like 4 or 5 times a year. And then they're in Dubai. And then they're in the US. And you that you're in the UK and thinking, well, God is helping us. When last did you travel? When last did you take a holiday? And the people that are shouting things are hard and difficult, and they don't just go alone. It's the whole family. So the whole family, man, for some of us, before we travel, we have to plan for over a year because we're thinking, man, going to 3,000-4,000 pounds, savings gone. And then you start saving from the beginning of the year so that you can travel at the end of the year. You know what I'm talking about? If God says, this is where I want you to be, man, things can be hard. You know, when Eliphaz was talking to Job, Job 22:29, he said something. He said, when men are cast down, then you will say there is lifting up. Praise the Lord. He says it will save the humble person. When people are saying, ah, man, there's no way around this thing, you will be able to say, the Lord has exalted my horn like the horn of the unicorn. It's difficult, it's challenging, economic crisis, and yet some people are becoming millionaires during economic crisis. God is able to do that for you, and it's God that is able to do that. There's no way. And you can say, man, God, you've been faithful. God, you've exalted me. God told Isaac, said, stay in the land that I'll show you. Stay there because I'm going to bless you. I'm going to cause things to happen for you. God gives the strength to carry on. Praise God. The passage we read, and that's the second person we'll talk about, Elijah. Again, you know, you look at the story of Elijah. We always talk about the man, a man of like passion. Someone once said to me, I said, you know, Elijah was a man of like passion. He prayed, you know, earnestly that there will be no rain. And there wasn't any rain. And, you know, the man said Elijah was a man of like passion. And a woman threatened him, and he ran. But that's true. At the end of the day, he was man. Yes, a woman threatened him, Jezebel. Says, then Jezebel sent a messenger, verse 2, to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of 1 Kings 19. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. May the Lord help us to watch what we say. Jezebel made a threat. I'm digressing here. She made a threat. What happened? Elijah challenged, you know, the priests of Baal. The God that answers by fire, we know the story. Let him be God. They cut themselves. He made fun of them. From morning till evening, nothing happened. No fire came. So he said, okay, so you guys, you've done yours. Now, move aside. Let's see my God in action. He called down God to answer by fire. Fire came down, consumed the sacrifice. People saw that God was God indeed. They decided to worship him. All the priests of Baal were killed. And Jezebel, you know, the champion of the idols, said, you know what? So you think you can get away with it? If what you've done to these priests doesn't happen to you by this time tomorrow, let it be that to me. watch what you say. How, does anyone remember how Jezebel's life ended? That's his dogs licked her blood. In pride, boasting, you know what, man, I'll show you. If this thing, my name is not, you know what I'm talking, some people are, if this thing doesn't happen to you, my name is not, it's not this person that gave birth to me. And you're thinking, how, you know, what's, that's a very, sorry, the Africans can relate to this, you know. I'll tell you a joke. Someone was joking once and he said, you know, you can tell people where they're from by the way they, you know, they advertise and talk about things. Anyone heard that joke before? About the Titanic. And it was like, if an American was going to do an advert about Titanic, he'll be like, from the makers of starring, you know, a motion picture dedicated or presented by, you know, and you've got. If it's going to be the Indians, you know what they're going to do? And it was like, if you move to people of our own ilk, those of you that like Nollywood, you know what I'm talking about? And the first thing is, water everywhere, ooh, water don't fool the place. We shout too much. I mean, I know of a guy that all my colleagues, not, that's an exaggeration. At least three of my colleagues have come to meet me and said that this guy is too forceful and always seems to be, aggressive. Yeah, that's the word. That always coming across aggressive. And I was trying to explain that it's a cultural thing that you know, he doesn't mean it that way, but, you know, there's some of us that it's in the DNA. We don't know how to be soft-spoken and, you know, how to, what do you mean? Why are you talking to me like that? Come on, can't you see? Hold on. We do that. Some people are frowning, we do it. And they'll be like, you know, man, don't talk to me like that. And you're thinking, are we fighting? I'm trying to give you, you know, something that will help you. And you're like, don't talk. Praise God. Let's watch what we say. Jezebel threatened Elijah. Ultimately, she paid with her life. But Elijah was also a man. Elijah, you know, he felt he was in a place of despair. So even to the best of us, it happens. There are times when we're weighed down, when we're just thinking, there's no way forward. There's nothing else to do. Lord, let me die. That was Elijah's plan. Let me just go. He had a fantastic victory. And the next moment, someone threatened him. And it became a case of, let me just end this life. It's enough. I can't go on. I've had enough. It says verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I mean, it seems as if I'm the one carrying all this burden, and now they want to kill me. The Bible says, and he lay and slept, verse 5, under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise, eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Praise God. Not once, but twice, the angel said, get up and eat. The one that gives you the strength to carry on. Even when you think things are sufficient, even when you think things are okay, the one that gives you the strength to carry on knows what is good for you, what will suffice. The angel of the Lord said, get up and eat. And you eat and you're thinking, you know, I've got enough. But the one that sees the hand right from the beginning knows that there's so much of a way to go. And saying, you haven't had enough. Eat again. Eat because you need the strength. Because there's still a way to go. And the Bible says that, you know, he ate a second time. And what he ate was enough to sustain him 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God. Little wonder that Isaiah said in Isaiah 40:29 that he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Praise the Lord. It is God that gives power to the faint. It is the one that strengthens the weak. He is the one that enables. He is the one that gives the strength to carry on. Shall we rise to our feet? We've talked about two people. We've talked about Elijah. We've talked about Isaac. It could be the element. It could be the environment. It could be things that are going on around you that is causing despair. But it could be within you yourself. Whether it's you, whether it's outside, whether it's within your control, whether it's out of your control, we're saying that we have a God that is full of compassion. A God that is able to make a way where there's no way. A God that is gracious. A God that has provided food for those who fear him. A God that is ever mindful of his covenant. A God that is able to direct your paths if you put your trust in him. A God that it is better to trust in. Why? Because he makes those opens. He is the one that gives the strength to carry on. Why don't you just pray to that God this afternoon? You know, when Jesus was preaching in Matthew chapter 6, he said the Gentiles, they run about after so many things. But there is a God that, you know, he's the one that clothes the lilies. He's the one that makes provisions. And he said in the verse 33 of that chapter 6 that, you know, seek him first and everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be added to you. Prioritize him. Make him your priority. Make him your priority and everything else will fall into place for you because he's God. He says, all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows your needs. He knows you. He says, well, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Everything that you need. God knows. Even before you know, he knows that you need them. He says, all these things will be added to you. What are you trusting God for? Even the quantity you think you need might not be what you need. Elijah had the first time. The angel of the Lord said, it's not enough. Eat more. Get up, eat more. Because you need the strength to go on. Because he is God alone. Let's just take a couple of worship songs and just worship this God. Can I ask the choir to? In all circumstances, let us trust in God. Because he's the one that is able to make a way. He's the one that is able to open doors.